Everybody. So today we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 1 and chapter 6, plus 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to be kind of jumping around. We're going to be taking just a break today because it is a very special day. We are going to be celebrating moms. We're going to talk a little bit about why God designed them to be the way they are. Because I think we all can agree, moms are very different than dads. How they interact with us, how they interact with children, even non-children, and even not one of their children, they act completely different than dads. Dads, they tend to throw kids around. They wrestle with them. Probably some of the fondest memories I have of my dad when I was real young is he would chase us around the house being the tickle monster, you know. My mom wouldn't do that. But my mom, she would sit down, she'd watch the cartoons that she probably didn't want to watch to begin with. She would be the one that is more nurturing. If we got hurt, who do we run to? Do we run to mom or do we run to dad? Most of the time we run to mom. Because mom's going to be a little bit more gentle. Dads are going to be like, all right, let's put rubbing alcohol in and then suck it up. You know, moms, they're more nurturing. And we know there are many times that we've had, as kids, we had multiple women that we would look up to being as a mother figure. You go over to your best friend's house, his mom or her mom would immediately take care of you like your own mom does. Ask you if you're hungry. Make sure that everything's okay. Women just, it's natural. It's more natural to them. In the Old Testament, in the Jewish culture, it was up to the women to teach the kids. Not just the younger women on how to do all the stuff that they have to do, but they also taught the boys scripture. They would teach them the laws. They would teach them all that stuff. Now, that doesn't mean that the fathers never did it. But it was usually the women, the moms, that would take up that mantle because in that society at that time, women didn't go out. They didn't work. They were there in the home. It was the men that were out tending to the fields or picking up a trade. And so moms and dads are completely different. I try to be gentle and comforting to my children, but I don't have the patience like Allison does. I don't know how women do it. I don't know how you have all this patience to deal with your kids. But as we get into these scriptures, women or moms show us what it is to have love. Moms show us what it means to have compassion. To have grace and have mercy. Because there are often times where, I know as me growing up as a kid, I did some pretty stupid things. As my mom puts it, how bad Judah is with his attention deficit, he's nothing compared to what I was. I was hyperactive. I remember as a kid I was sent to the principal's office almost on a daily basis for not paying attention, for being rowdy, for just not being able to control myself. And I don't know how my mom dealt with me. I don't know how she had the patience to deal with my type of personality. And so, as we get into this in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it says, "My child, listen to your father. Listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instructions. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and a chain of honor around your neck." So even there, it's showing the distinction between the father figure and the mom figure. The father figure is one that is of correction, right? Which is what our father, our heavenly father does. He corrects us. He does punish us. There is consequences to our sins, He does forgive us. He does give us that mercy, but He also corrects us. And it says, do not neglect, or some of your versions might say, do not forsake your mother's teaching. Moms are always about teaching a lesson. They're always about, okay, now what did you learn from this? How is it that we are now not going to do that again in the future? Whereas the father is more like, you won't do this again in the future. Let's not try to figure out what the problem was. You will not do this in the future. So moms, they're all about more in the instructions and the teaching and the guiding and the leading on. But ultimately, both parents, they're doing similar jobs in the fact that they're both instructing you, they're both leading you. Just moms do it a lot more gentle. I remember growing up, spankings were rather common to me. But it wasn't just coming from my dad. My mom would spank us, and as we got older, it kind of became more of like a joke because her spankings didn't hurt anymore. And then it became the thing, oh, wait until your father gets home type thing. But she would spank us to correct us, right? That was the whole point of spanking, is to correct an action, to correct a way of going. Usually moms, after they're done spanking a child, they'll leave the room for like maybe 5 minutes, and then they'll come back in, they'll hug, and they'll tell the child that they love them. You know, Allison, as she's spanking, you know, she doesn't leave the room. She would then give them a hug and let them know that she still loves them and that the reason why she had to do that. When I was first a father and I didn't get that whole thing, I was just like, I thought a spanking was good enough. They should know why they're getting the spanking. I don't have to discuss it with them later. I would just go in, give the spanking, leave. It wouldn't really hurt me at all. But then Allison would go in right behind me, and she'd be the comforter. She'd be the one that would talk to them, let them know that I still love them and that she still loves them. And she would sit there with them, holding them as they cried. Me, I just thought that if I just walked out, the impact of it would be enough. So, moms, they have that special gift. How many of you have ever walked, how many of you mothers, or just women in general, walked into a store, saw a crying baby, like, or heard a crying baby on another aisle, and you immediately wanted to go and find out what was going on? I've seen it to where I've been in a store, I had the kids, all four of them with me, one of them's crying, I'm trying to consult the one that's crying, their ones are all going crazy, getting into the shelves and this and that, and I'm just about ready to lose it, and I look up and this like mom is like peeking around the corner like what the heck is going on? But usually when they peek around the corner, they're not like, gosh, can't you control your kids? That's how you can always tell the difference between a woman that is a mom and one that's not. Usually the one that is a mom, they understand. They have that you look at them and they have that compassion in their eyes. Whereas the other one's more like judgmental. Can't you keep control of your kids? It's like, I have four of them. They're all going in different directions. But moms, they're special, aren't they? Usually you'll remember the teachings that your mom gives you. It's usually not until after you did something wrong that you'll remember. You're like, oh yeah, I remember mom telling me that. Moms are usually the ones that tell you not to stick the fork in the outlet, whereas the dads, they'll only do it once. moms are the ones that they look ahead and they want to prevent injury. Dads are their kids. They only do it once. That's a great line that dads like to use. They only do it once. I would love to say that kids only do something stupid once. They don't. Whereas moms are like, okay, now we have to put all those covers all over the outlets because we don't want our kids shocking themselves. We have to put the safety latches on the cupboards so that they don't play with the bleach. Dads are all, they only do it once. So moms, they have this inerrant need to protect. They show us what God is really like. God desires for us not to make the mistakes that we make. God doesn't have that father figure mentality in the sense that, oh, they'll only do it once. No. God is like moms to where they know that their children are kind of dense and they're going to keep doing it. And so they have to figure out a way of preventing the injury in the future, or preventing the heartache, or preventing something. For you guys in here, you know what I'm talking about. Your mom, they're constantly probably yelling at you, don't do something. Boys will be boys, right? That's what most guys will think. The women are thinking, why do boys have to be boys? Why can't they think? Like Judah, that's oftentimes, he's a boy. He's all boy. He's crazy. He's just running around. And that's the way I think of it. Oh, he's just a boy being a boy. And Allison's all, no. He's going to get himself injured. He's going to do something. We went to Magic Mountain on Saturday. And Judah's like right at that limit of 54 inches where he can go on all the rides. Me, I'm thinking, sweet. My son can go on all the rides. We all can go together. We'll all have fun. It'll be a blast. Allison's thinking, wait, he's barely making it. What if the restraints don't hold him? She's freaking out more of the safety side. I'm thinking more of the entertainment side of it. She, as we're getting onto lines and onto rides, she's all, you hold him. You do not let him go. And at one point, you know, if you know Six Flags, then you'll know what I'm talking about. But there's a ride called Goliath. At the very beginning, you climb, and then there's a 255-foot drop at, I think it's like 80 degrees down. So you're pretty much going straight down 255 feet. Now, mind you, I didn't know Judah was afraid of heights. And he was doing fine. He went on Batman, he went on Viper, he went on all those other rides, and we broke him on Goliath. He didn't want to go on any more roller coasters. He didn't want to do any more of those. Me, I'm like, you got to do it. You got to suck it up. You got to get on the next ride. You got to do it. And Allison's all, don't push him. Show him, be nice. Show him that's okay. Me, I'm like, no, he will do it. You're ruining all the fun now, kid. But she immediately went into that caring mode. For guys, it's not natural for us. It's not. And finally, after Becca and Allison going on a few rides, the more compassionate side came out. Well, I was sitting there with Judah, and he was kind of bummed because he thought I wasn't having fun. And Judah is a little more sensitive than I am. And we're sitting there, and it finally like dawned on me, he's scared. He's really scared. And so I had a talk with him, like, buddy, it's okay. You know, we'll go over to the kiddie rides, something that's a lot more tame, and then if you want to come back, we'll come back. And he's, at first he thought about it, because I mentioned kiddie rides, he thought that he's a big boy now. He doesn't want to go to the little kid rides. And then Allison, the whole time that she was in line, mind you, it was a special day, so the lines weren't very long. They were gone for maybe 10 minutes. As she's in line and she's thinking about it, she's trying to figure out how is it that we all can go be together still and we can all have fun together. Me, I'm thinking, okay, you know what, I'm going to take Judah. We'll go over to the little kid rides. Her and Becca can go off and do their thing. No, Allison's like, no, we're here together. How can we stay together? And so she was like, okay, you know what, we'll all get in line. We'll all be together. And we'll just be behind each other. Two of us will go. The next one will get on. And Judah will be the first two. And she figured out this whole elaborate thing in 10 minutes. And me, I'm like, we're just going to separate. You guys go do your thing. We're going to go do our thing. But that's how moms think. In the amount of time that a guy can think of like one simplified plan, moms are usually coming up with this great complex, usually a really good idea. They're thinking three times as much as what guys are. And they're thinking of everybody all at once. Not just themselves. Not just the small group, but they're thinking of everybody. And God designed it that way. God wanted moms to be that way. That's why he's saying here in Proverbs chapter 8, it says, don't neglect your mother's instruction when you learn from them. When you learn from them, will crown what you learn from them will crown you with grace and a chain of honor around your neck. And so, when we get to learn from moms, and I get to learn from Allison every single day on how to be more compassionate, when I learn from that, and I think back of how my parents were and how my mom was to me, I can see the instructions that were there all along. It allows us men to grow. We grow. They've already statistically shown that guys, what, mature 3 years slower than females? That it takes guys a lot more times to knock it into our heads than it does for females. And God wants it that way. Why? Why would God want it to be designed that way? Because then it shows that guys are always going to be reliant upon females. Guys always need a comforter. They always need somebody that's going to be there to help them, that's going to think of things through and through, not just, okay, here's the problem, here's the solution. Because you know that's how guys think. Guys, we don't want instructions on how to build something. Just put the wood together, nail it together, screw it together. Who cares if you have extra pieces? It's only a little wobbly. When you secure it to the wall, it won't be wobbly anymore, right? Whereas women, they're like, follow the instructions. They're there for a reason. The old stereotype of guys, oh, guys don't need to stop to ask for directions. We're men. We know where we are at all times, even if we're lost. We know where we are. Whereas women are like, just stop for 5 minutes, ask for directions. It's fine. Because they're thinking, great, he's going to get us lost again. There is times where, when Alice and I, before we had kids, we went to Upper Lopez Canyon in her Chrysler New Yorker, which is like this big boat of a car. And it hadn't really rained, but for some reason there was rain, there was a lot of water in the creek. And Allison was like, I don't think we're going to make it. Me, I'm like, yeah, we will. We'll be fine. Just let me do this. Yeah, we made it through the first two creeks. And then we didn't make it through the third creek. Water got in the car. You know, of course, did I want to... Then I had to get to the point of like saying, oh, you're right. And there's a lot of times where I'm like that, where she's already thinking it through. She already knows the outcome of what my decisions are going to be because she knows me. Me, I'm a guy, I'm going to keep making the same mistakes over and over. Usually we don't learn from our mistakes of the past. And there's a lot of times nowadays I have to go, you're right, I was wrong. Don't let me ignore you again. But then we do. God designed it that way. Because we have to rely on each other. As much as this society likes to say that men and women are completely equal in every single way, we're not. Men and women are not completely equal. We all know that. Naturally, a guy is going to be strong. Most guys are going to be stronger than women. Naturally. Now, there are some women out there that look, they look like men, and they're really bulky. But yet, look at a female bodybuilder compared to a male bodybuilder. They're both doing the same exact thing, right? Who tends to be bigger? Males, right? Now, how God designed it was for men to protect women. That's the way that God designed it. God designed women to be more nurturing. I'm not saying that it's the job of the woman to stay in the house. By all means, I'm not saying that at all. But a woman is to be more nurturing than the male. It's easier for them to take on that parental figure. Women, as they're pregnant, what's one of the stages that they go into when they're about to give birth? Doesn't matter how many times they've been pregnant. They go into a nesting phase to where they want to get everything together. The guy's like, the kid's not here yet. Why do I have to lose a room now? But the female's like, no, we have to get it all together. We have to get the crib set up. It's like, you're only 3 months pregnant. Why are we doing this now? It's how God designed it. As much as the society likes to say that men and women are equal in everything, we can see what happens when that mentality gets put into everything. There are high school, male high school athletes that identify as a female and they're able to wrestle. What do you think the outcome of that is going to be? Do you think they stand a chance that the females in the same weight class really stand a chance? Usually not. And then this one kid, he goes off and wins state. This one boy goes off and wins state again in the girls' category because he identified as a female. And they're praising him for it. I'm sorry. No, he naturally is built to do that. Boys, they grow up wrestling. Boys grow up being rough. And so God designed men and women to be completely different for a reason. They complement one another. They are there to help one another. They're not there to fight against each other for who is stronger or who is bigger or who is really the leader of the house. They're not there to compete against one another. Mother and fathers, they complement one another. Like I said, when my mom's spankings had no effect to us, She would say, wait until your father gets home. Then he would really spank us. He would really correct us at that point. There would be no fault. We would start crying as soon as she said that, because we're like, no, 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 no. And then we got smart enough to where we learned how to fake cry when she spanked us. Just because we didn't want my dad to have to do it. Even when my dad was spanking us, it was nothing compared to previous generations. My dad would tell me stories about what his dad would make him do. Go out and get the stick. He would use a belt. And I have no problems. I'm not completely messed up. I'm not violent. He corrected the action in me. Just like his dad corrected the action in him. And when society tries to take away those parental things, we start to gain the society that we have today. We start to see the breakdown of morality. We start to see the breakdown of what's happening. It's because society is saying, no, there is no difference between a mom and a dad. Well, there is. Now, it's sad that women, that a lot of times single moms have to take on that role of both the father and the mother figure. And it's hard for them. And they do the best that they can. But that's not the way that God has ever designed it. He designed it for a mom and a dad to complement one another to raise children. The breakdown in our society is happening because divorce rates are at an all-time high. That a lot of times parents are having to raise children by themselves. It's statistically proven that a kid is more likely to succeed with both a mother and a father figure in their lives. When we break that down, when we take that apart, when we separate it, we have this breakdown. There's already a fractured society going on. And that's not what God has designed. When God designed marriage, He said the two become one. They're unified in their vision. They're unified in their raising other children. They're unified. They're together. They're showing a strong unified front. But the only way that you can have that, really, that strong unified front is by listening to the way that God has designed it. There are a lot of married couples that they get married, they have kids, they raise their kids, they put all their focus into their kids as opposed to focus into each other. They put all their focus into their kids, and then when their kids move out, they don't know who each other are anymore. And then they get divorced. As much as we like to say that divorce won't affect the kids, even as adults, a divorce will affect the kids. Especially when the kids, they always saw their parents together, they were always unified, they were always, you know, in the same page as far as disciplining and everything went, and now they're getting divorced, to them, that it's going to be like, wait, if my parents came and make it, how do I stand a chance? My parents had this perfect marriage. And so one thing that we have to really remember is that divorce was never part of God's plan. He designed two parts to it. The father is to be the correction. That's not the only thing that the father is to do, but it's one of the main roles. The mother is to be the instruction, the one to be caring, the one that is nurturing, the one that is always there. Women, you know that your job doesn't end when you get home. Guys, for some reason, we can do that a lot easier. When we get home, just click off. We're done. We did our 8 hours. We're done. You know, go out or sit down, watch sports. Whereas moms, they know that when they're home from work, they're not off the clock. I always feel bad when Allison gets home and she's just immediately going into doing whatever it is that she sees that has to happen, because she sees the house in a completely different aspect than I do. Me, I'm like, just pick up the stuff off the ground. We're good. No, she's like, no, there's food particles on the counter, things need to be vacuumed, things need to be done. She just sees the bigger picture. Me, I'm just like, okay, what's the quickest way that I can get to resting and just relaxing? Moms are awesome. That's why we need to celebrate moms. Not just one day a week or a year. That's why I love to tell Allison how awesome she is. I love to then go when I get home, okay, I'm going to do loads of laundry. I'm going to do the dishes. I want to do the dinner. I want to get it all done so that she doesn't have to and she can be at home. Now, how often do I actually do that? That's the other thing. I totally have the intention on my way home to do it all. But when I actually get home, I turn into a guy still. And I don't do it until like 5 minutes before she gets there. Don't know why my mind always thinks that's going to work. That I can get everything done in 5 minutes. But even after I don't do all that, does she come home and does she nag and get on to me and say, how dare you? Haven't you been home for X amount of time? No, she's still compassionate even with me. She's saying, oh, I know that you had a hard day at work. Oh, I know that this is going on. It's okay. You know, why don't you take care of this? I'll take care of everything else. Even though she's not my mom, she still has compassion for me like a mother. And it's the way that God designed her. It's the way that God has designed most women. And if you turn to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 and 21, it's basically saying the same thing, just a little bit different words. It says, my son, obey your father's commands, and don't neglect your mother's instructions. Keep their words always in your heart, and tie them around your neck. Meaning, keep the instructions that your mom gives you close to you at all times. Remember it often. And as we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You don't have to turn there. I'm pretty much already there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's the love scripture. I love to bring it up a lot. And especially when we talk about mothers. Because I think moms show on earth what it means to have unconditional love. Let me ask you this. How many times have you disobeyed your mom and she still accepts you? How many times have you screamed and had a yelling match with your mom? I remember with my oldest sister and my mom, they were constantly going at each other. But my mom never said, you know what, I'm done with you. Just go, leave. There were times where she said, get out of my face and go away, because she's still human, and she still has to calm down herself. But then she would always go back to my sister, and they would always hug, and they'd always make up, and then they would be fine. They would be laughing, they'd be doing stuff together, until the next time that they butted heads. And I think they butted heads, and they still butt heads, because they're very, very similar in the way that they react to stuff. But moms, I think, are the closest thing on earth that we will have to unconditional love. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, picking up in verse 4, says, love is patient. Moms are very patient with kids, especially boys, and then girls when they become teenagers. Love is kind. Their initial reaction is not to blow up. Their initial reaction is not to go straight for spanking. Their initial reaction is not to punish, but their initial reaction is to be there and kind. It goes along with the patience thing. Patience can only go so far at times too. Whereas guys, the kid hurts themselves, we're immediately getting on to them why they got hurt and telling them how not to get hurt again. Whereas mom is like, okay, let me take care of the wound. Let me take care of the bone that's now sticking outside the skin as opposed to lecturing you. Let me take care of that first, and then we'll talk later about what caused that. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. Now, that's... Moms can get jealous. I remember when Judah would refuse to say mom. He would say dad. It was always dad. Dad. Dad, 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 dad. And Allison would be like, no, mom, 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 mom. And he'd go, dad, with a big old smile. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's being an ornery little butt. He's being a boy. You know, and so yes, moms do tend to get jealous. But I think it's a righteous jealousy. It's a good jealousy. It's the jealousy that God has for us. Because we have to remember, our God is a jealous God. Okay? Now, love is not jealous in the sense that what they're talking about here. Jealousy, when we think of jealousy, why are we jealous of somebody else giving somebody, another person, affection? Because we want that, right? But we're ultimately jealous because we think that they're going to leave us for that person. That we're not going to get that same affection back. That we're not going to get that in return. That's usually why we become jealous. Whereas God is a God of jealousy in the fact that He doesn't want to share our affection as far as a spiritual God. He doesn't want to share that with other people. Not because He's afraid that we're not going to come back, but it's because He wants to give it back in return. He wants to have that interaction with you so that it can go both ways. It's not just a one-way street with God. He's saying, look, I'm a jealous God because I don't want to share you with anything else that's going to take your attention off of what I have in store for you. It's not boastful. Moms usually don't do what they do so that they can get recognition for it. Moms usually on Mother's Day are still the one trying to do everything. Moms, even on the day that this is their day, they're not like, okay, now you guys take care of everything else. I expect a foot massage. I expect, you know, all these things to be done. Usually a mom is like, okay, where are we going on today? This is what we're going to do. Boom, 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 boom. They still have it all lined up. They still have planned out everything. For instance, like, usually on Mother's Day, all barbecue. But Allison still makes sure that I have everything that I need in order to barbecue. While I'm out there barbecuing, she's not just sitting in the house doing nothing. She's usually then preparing something else. I walk in, I'm like, no, 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 this is your day. Let me take care of this for you. She's like, no, I like doing this. But they don't do it. They don't go, no, you pamper me. No, that's when her birthday comes around. Then it's that. But they don't do everything that they do for recognition. Usually, they are proud when it comes to their kids. But they're not necessarily proud about all that they have to do or all that they have to accomplish. Or rude. This all goes back to being kind. Moms, instead of ripping into their kids, They're more like, okay, how can we figure this out? How can we learn from this? What are we going to take from this? They're not immediately getting into their face. It does not demand its own way. Sometimes moms do. But that's okay, because usually their way is better than the dad's anyways. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wrong. Where I think a mom is a perfect example of that. A child can disobey. Like I said, my mom and my sister, they would butt heads. They would scream at each other. My sister would tell my mom that she hates her and never wants to speak to her again. And then 10 minutes later, she's right there for my sister. She doesn't keep any records. She doesn't say, okay, but wait, I thought you didn't want to talk to me anymore. I thought you hated me. No, she immediately goes into that spot of, okay, I love you too. So they don't keep records of wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. I remember my mom and my sister, my oldest sister, they got into an argument. That was the norm. That was a daily interaction. My sister went out, partied a little too much. She wrecked her car, and the fact that she put a big old dent on the side of the car, on the back side of the car, came home and thought that she could hide the dent from my mom by putting it on the other side of the car to where my mom won't see it when she comes out and gets into her car. Well, of course, my mom saw it. You can't look at the car and not see that something's a little bit different about it. And she didn't go and grill my sister. She asked her, you know, like, oh, is there anything you need to tell me? Type thing. And my sister was like, no, nothing at all. And so my mom was like, come on, I already know. So just tell me. And so then my sister told her. But she didn't rejoice over the fact that she got one over on my sister. She then made my sister learn the lesson, pay for to get the dent removed, get it all taken care of. And then there's another time where my sister got drunk. And they called my mom. My mom was like, no. She's staying in there. She's staying in jail overnight. I'll come and get her in the morning. This was in the middle of the night, mind you. My mom's like, no, I'll come get her in the morning. And that whole night, my mom did not sleep well. My mom didn't, you know, she was restless all night. In the morning, she went down, she got her. But she didn't rejoice over the fact that she had to make her own daughter stay in jail. But she did rejoice in the fact that my sister learned her lesson. Let me ask you a question. For people that are incarcerated, who's the most likely person to come and visit them in jail? Their mom. Why? Because their mom is always a mom, right? She always wants to make sure that her baby is okay. Regardless of how old you get, regardless of how many children your mom has, you will always be her baby. Regardless of how many times you screw up, she will always be there. Love never gives up. We all know that moms don't ever give up on us. They always expect or always think the best for us. They don't ever write us off as being losers or somebody that is just, you know what, too far gone. A mom never gives up. They're always seeking out. Love never loses faith. They always hope the best for you. They always think that of the best for you. They're like, oh no. They will learn eventually. They have that faith in you. They trust that you will someday make the right decision. Always hopeful and endures through every circumstance, or in some versions, it'll say love never fails. A mother's love never fails. Moms are astounding. Even Jesus, as he was on the cross, his mom was there in front of him weeping with John. And he looks down at him and says, "Look, there's your son. There's your mother." He looked down and he said, "Look, I want you to take care of my mom. Look, mom, you're losing me, but here's another son for you to take care of." He understood that he was the oldest. Jesus was the oldest son. So it was up to him to take care of the mom. He still had that love and that compassion for her. Now, Mary is nothing like what the Catholics put out. Okay? Mary has no more authority in heaven than anybody else. Don't go praying to Mary. But God designed motherhood for a very specific reason. God chose Mary for a very specific reason. And God chose you to be the mother or the mother figure in somebody's life. There are plenty of women that I know that haven't had children or never plan on having children, but somehow still become a mother figure to somebody to some little kid or to somebody in their life. And it's amazing how, even though it's not their own child, they take them up as if it was their own child. And it's because that's how God designed women to be. And that design goes across species as well. I had a mother cat that would go and steal other kittens from other cats because she wanted to be a mother that much. She would rescue them, I'm pretty sure in her mind is how she was looking at it, because she could be a better mother than the other cat. But that's the way that God designed it. We can see that God has designed males and females to be completely different. Like I said, it's so that we can complement one another. And when males and females complement one another, what that does is that shows the whole body of God. When the two become one, they actually become in a trinity with God. Because God has always designed it that way. God doesn't design it to be God, then men, then women. No, God designs it to be God, man, and woman next to each other. They form a trinity or a triangle. They are next to each other, not above or below each other. God designed it all the way back at Adam and Eve. He says, "Look, it's not good for man to be alone. Let me make him a companion or a helper. Somebody that has to come alongside him." And so moms are not inferior to dads. Moms are not superior to dads. They each have their role. And they need to be recognized for that role. They need to be recognized in the amount of stuff that they provide. Moms, especially, and the fact that they don't get enough recognition for what they do in our lives. Like I said, it's not just one day that we should be celebrating moms. It should be on a more consistent basis. Because moms are awesome. Moms don't ever stop being a mom. Let's pray.